Current events, it's like BBC or CNN headlines popping up all the time. I was reading this week that there's actually a university in California now that's offering one of the intro classes on how to take a selfie. Good college credit there, so you know, hold the camera. I actually should have brought my cell phone. I could do a selfie with you all. Can I do that? I've never done that actually. Selfie with me in the church in the background. So this is just gonna be cap. Oh, I turned it off. Can't do it. Yeah, that's a good reminder. Turn off your phones. Somebody else can do a selfie there, post it later on the church website. But we're kind of caught up in the moment. A lot of what we do has to be remembered right now. And even in the humor of, there you go, my wife can do a selfie. Humor of the moment of selfies, people being aware, it's trying to remember something, capture the essence of what's going on around them. It might be trivial to take a selfie and take a class on taking selfies. But also there's moments where we want to capture a moment for good or remember them. We can't help but remember the moment. Back Wednesday night, it's 10:30, quarter 11 at night, we were ready to go to bed, and we get a phone call, unknown number from Louisiana, and it's my son calling. My oldest son, who's just finished up his first year to college and has great summer plans, calls and says, "Hey, Dad, I'm on the way to the hospital." "Really?" "Yeah, I jumped out of a tree and broke my collarbone." Okay, son, so that was our moment that we captured there Wednesday night, which kind of is changing summer plans for the whole family, thanks to that. But anyways, pray for him. His name is Micah, for those of you who don't know. And, yeah, got to figure out if he's going to have surgery or not and what it's going to look like. And a bunch of doctors understand all that medical stuff that goes on. But yeah, that's my moment of the week that we got captured and are trying now to wrestle with. This morning, we're looking in Luke chapter 19, and we're trying to capture a moment. We've been going through this book, and actually, as we are learning from the author who happens to be Luke, trying to help us to capture moments. We're looking at the life of Jesus and being reminded that what we have heard, what we believe in, is true. That's why we've got it here in front of us. Luke is trying to convince us, help us to have firm foundations for what we believe, and capturing these moments in the life of Christ. So this morning in chapter 19, we're going to catch this moment of the end of what we could say his traveling around and his preaching ministries, and we're getting down to this crunch time, this Passion Week, this week before his death. Now I'm going to read for you 37 to 48. We're at the end of the chapter, and don't change the slides. We'll just leave it here on the beginning here. Yep. Starting in verse 37. "When he came near the place where the road goes down from the Mount of Olives," which is the picture you have here in the background, standing on the Mount of Olives where Jesus would have been, "the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment around you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.' When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers.' Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find a way to do it because all the people hung on his words." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these words that are recorded for us today. Recorded for us to learn from what happened, to learn from the mistakes of others, most importantly, to see our Savior Jesus, to learn from him. Open our eyes this morning and help us to see what's going on, that our lives might be changed. We might not miss this moment that's being talked about. In Jesus' name, amen. Capturing the moment. This next slide here, the key verse that's kind of being challenging for us, Jesus said to these people, "If you, Even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace. They missed it. And so we stopped this morning, we wondered about capturing that moment and say, you know, sometimes we're so caught up in events, sometimes we're so caught up in busyness, celebrating or angry or whatever, that we miss these amazing moments that God has for us. In fact, moments that all of history, according to this, pivots upon. They missed it. They missed it in these verses, in this time frame of Jesus' life. If you had only known what would bring you peace. So here in these verses, the crowds, which is in this next verse here, the crowds are all celebrating. They're excited. They're thrilled to know that the King is coming. They're joyfully praising God. And what are they praising for? Yes, the Messiah is here. Yes, he's come to save us. Yes, he's doing miracles. They're focused on the very immediate personal gain of what Jesus has done for them. We know from the story of Christ that a week later, in the same place, they're going to turn on him. So somehow what the crowds are doing here in this moment of celebrating, rejoicing for all of his miracles, they're still missing something. They're still missing an understanding of who Jesus is. They're still missing an understanding of what he came to do. But they're very, very excited about what he's done for them. But still, they missed out. The next verses, the Pharisees themselves are saying, Jesus, stop them. They shouldn't be praising your name. They shouldn't be saying these things about you. And Jesus responds to them. At least they got something right. They're praising me. In fact, all of creation knows who I am. They're at least recognizing and praising the Father. And the fact that they weren't shouting out praises to my name, the rocks around you would be doing it. So the Pharisees, not recognizing who Jesus was, not recognizing his authority, not recognizing that he is the Son of God, simply calling him teacher, are also missing out on something. The crowds seeing him as the one who's the healer, the Pharisees, the teachers of law calling him teacher, both of them missing the moment. Because despite all this celebration going on around him, Jesus coming in, the crowd's excited, Pharisees grumpy, and Jesus looking down over Jerusalem from this view right here, in fact, it wasn't a mosque at the time, it was the temple. Jesus looking down over this, his heart begins to break. His life here on earth to share this good news, to show them that he is God, what he has come to do, his life to this moment, and everyone around him is blind to it, is missing it. He could have seen it. He's tried to explain it to him. He's told them he's coming to die. He's told them he's come to save them from their sins. And yet the people are still focused on their own need for who he should be for them, a healer, a teacher, missing out the Son of God. And so he weeps over the city. Leave it there. He weeps over the city and says, if you could capture this moment, if you, and he's talking to Jerusalem here, so he's talking to everyone around him, he's talking to the people of Israel, the teachers right there, the crowds that are there celebrating, his own disciples who are close by him, he's talking to them, if you, Jerusalem, Israel, my people, could only see this moment for what it is. What could bring you peace? But now it's hidden. Now judgment is coming. And it's a horrific description of the city being destroyed down to the very bedrock of the city. Families, children being wiped out because they missed something. What does it say they missed? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You miss God in your presence. You miss God here. You see why Jesus is weeping? All this is being offered to them and they're missing it. They're missing out on the fact that Emmanuel, God with us, is with them. Right there. They're missing it. Because their eyes are blinded. Jesus, when he was born, the angels were saying, Emmanuel, he's come, God with us. All through his ministry, he said, yes, I am. I am. Before Abraham, I am. Look to me. He proved it with his miracles. He proved it with his teachings. And they're still missing it here, a week from this big event in his life. So how do we prevent ourselves from being like this, missing the moment? Not having our cell phone turned on and camera app ready for that selfie for the moment. How do we prevent ourselves from missing something as big as this? This is poignant today because we have a promise. Our Savior, this Jesus, this Messiah of ours, is coming back. And we want to be found ready. We don't want to miss this moment, right? We're here, we're his people, he's crying out to us. Are we ready for his coming? How do we prevent ourselves from being like these excited people, celebrating what he's done for them, but missing out on who he really is? Or excited that he's a good teacher, but not accepting the authority that he gives it with? How do we prevent ourselves today from missing out like these people here? And for this, I think we actually need to continue on in these last two verses, 45 and 46. And see here what Jesus wished could have been present. Because when he entered into the temple there, he found it a marketplace. They were selling things, changing money. It's not the first time he's had to clean the temple out. But this time he throws them out and he makes this statement. It's written, "My house will be a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of robbers." Somehow in this statement, Jesus is helping us to see how we can be ready. My house is to be a house of prayer. His house? Yeah. This was actually a quote from the prophet Isaiah. So even in hundreds of years before when the prophets were talking, they were saying, listen, people, God's house is supposed to be a house of prayer for all the nations, for everyone. This is where they're supposed to come. But when Jesus gave them the blueprints for this house, it was a tabernacle. They were in a desert. They were leaving their bondage behind where they had been slaves. They're going towards this promised land. And Jesus says, stop a moment. Build this place for my presence to be, where I can be amongst you. And take a day, one of the days of the week, and stop and remember. His house was a place where they were to come every week. In quietness, with sacrifices, with a heart saying, God, I'm here. Forgive me for my sin. And help me to remember what you have done for me. The temple, the tabernacle, the place of God, the house for God was a place to go, to be with God, to be in his presence, and to remember what he had done for them. My house will be called a house of prayer. It was a place in prayer of being in communication with the living God. A house of communicating with the one who created all. A place to be in relationship with God Almighty. So why was he so angry with it being a marketplace? Because it was loud. Because there was distraction. Because people were being robbed of what they needed. They were being robbed of peace, and they were being robbed of their finances. They were being robbed of being able to be in the presence of God because of all the distractions. Why did the people miss out on the Son of Man coming amongst them? Why did these people miss out on who Jesus was? Because the place where they were supposed to be meeting God, the time that was set apart for meeting God, was lacking. They missed it. Blind. So let me challenge you this morning as we're looking at these verses. Do we want to be aware and capture this moment on our spiritual journey of what God is doing? Yeah. We want to see where God is at work. Do we want to be focused on what he is doing? Yeah, we do. To do that, we need this place. His house to be a place of prayer. Now today, what does that look like? A house of prayer. Here in Skopje, we have a House of Prayer movement, one of the places where people are gathered together to pray. And in lots of cities around the world, people go to a location, the House of Prayer. But it's bigger than that in these verses. We need a place, yes. But where does the Spirit of God reside today? When Jesus was taken up into heaven, he said, I will send my Spirit. In fact, next week is the week we celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we'll gather together at Alexander Palace with other churches here in Skopje. We'll celebrate that day. But that day represents the Holy Spirit coming to live in his believers, in us, in you, and in me. So when we talk about the Lord needs a house of prayer, he needs us to be in relationship, to be in communication, to be listening to him. When we gather together in his name, two or three, scripture promises, he's there. He's in our midst. And so we come together and we pray. And we seek the living God. Prayer. Talking, listening, being quiet, remembering. That's what prayer is. It's coming into relationship with the living God and saying, what are you doing? I'm here. Lead me, guide me, show me, so I don't miss these kind of moments. You're coming. Capturing a moment. It's about us looking, being ready, being quiet for God to speak. It's about us being aware of what God is doing because we're looking, we're listening. The opposite is like these people here, trying to get something out of it. Sometimes we come together because we're in need. We come together because we need something from other people. Our biggest need is the quietness of this temple, this place where we can come together and hear from God. Sometimes it's at home at your desk as you're praying. Sometimes it's coming together with believers over a meal. Sometimes it's out in the mountains all by yourself. Location is not the issue today. My house will be a house of prayer means his people. You and I are people of prayer. We talk to God. We listen to his voice. And we're ready. The urgency this morning is we know God is coming. Every generation since the time of Christ has said, this is the generation. Christ is coming back. We're ready for him. Or we're not ready for him. There's suffering. Yes, there's believers dying. There was happening in the first century. There was war. That was happening. There's rumors of war. Yeah. There's earthquakes. There's natural disasters. Yeah. Every generation said, this is the time. He's coming. Even more so today. And we're ready, right? We're looking forward to his return. And we're listening to what he's doing. These verses should be encouraging us today. We can do better, yes. But we can hear his voice. We don't have to miss out. Capturing a moment. They don't come twice. This day, Jesus says, they missed out in Jerusalem. But today, you and I, his church, we can be ready. We don't know even what this day is going to bring. Today, with protests on the city square, and tomorrow, more protests, we don't know what's happening here in Macedonia. We know that God does. We can trust him. We can hear his voice. Care for those in need. Care for the hurting. You can pray for truth and righteousness. At the end of the service, before we leave, we will have a time of prayer for what God is doing here in Macedonia. But right now, I want to challenge you. What's God speaking to you? Are you taking time to be silent, to listen to his voice? Are you taking time to read his words where he most often speaks to us? Taking that time to be in relationship with the living God. This is a part of it, coming together, yes. But he also wants each one of us to be in his presence and listening. I was sharing this week with a friend of mine who's wanting to hear God's voice more often, wanting to hear it audibly at times. And Christ has promised his people that we will hear him. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So he's promised to be speaking. Problem is, we don't know how to listen very often. We listen to lots of different things, so we need the quiet. Sometimes he's speaking through scripture, sometimes he's speaking through believers encouraging us, sometimes he speaks just through quietness and beauty of a moment. But God is speaking. And we need to be listening so that we can see what he's doing in our time. Let's pray. Father God, we take these words, we take this triumphal entry of our Savior to Jerusalem, and we apply it to our lives today. Enter. Enter into our lives, enter into our family here, into our church body, and have your way with us. We receive you, Lord Jesus. Quiet our hearts every day. Help us to take those moments where we turn out distractions and listen to you. We acknowledge our need. We acknowledge that you are speaking. And we thank you for your words that remind us we are safe in your hands. You are our Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.